38 in your spiral hymn book. Number 38. Let's all stand together. Number 38. Come, every sinner saved by grace, you who by faith God's Son embrace, tell all who hear your voice below, the debt of love to Christ you owe. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. He left his Father's throne above and came to earth on wings of love. For us he lived, the perfect man, and so fulfilled the law's demand. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. Jesus endured his Father's ire and died at the appointed hour. What he endured no tongue can tell, to save our souls from death and hell. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. From death's dark grave our King arose, and triumphed over all our foes. Up through the skies the victor rode, and reigns on high our Savior God. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. From heaven Christ will quickly come and bring his ransomed people home. There we shall see his lovely face and chant the praises of his grace. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. Please be seated.
Good evening. Let's open our Bibles together to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. I want to try to bring a message from Psalm 105 tonight, titled, When God Sends Darkness. When God Sends Darkness. And part of the truth of that is that when God sends darkness to our own souls, he makes us to see ourselves for what we are, sinners. And so Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 18, for I know, and every believer can say, I know, that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. I want to be perfect. I want to be without sin. You know, we tell people that we have no sin in Christ, and to talk to them about free grace, and their response is always, you know, if I believed that, I'd live like I wanted. And the child of God's response is, oh, I wish I could live like I want. I really do. That's what Paul's saying. I want to do. I want to be holy. I want to be without sin. One day I will be. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Don't check your motives too closely for anything that you do, because if you're honest, you're going to find them to be mixed. You're going to find there to be some selfish, evil intents in everything you do. That's what Paul's saying. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. We love God's law. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, and with the flesh, the law of sin. The flesh can do nothing but sin. The flesh is always with us. There is, therefore, now, right now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's pray. Our merciful Heavenly Father, send your Spirit, send him in power to enlighten the eyes of our understanding, to cause us to set our affections on things above where Christ is seated at thy right hand. Lord, cause us to know you and to have hope and comfort and joy in your salvation. We pray that you would open what no man can shut. Lord, open your word, open our hearts, open the windows of heaven. Bless us with thy Spirit and with thy presence. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Number 497. 497. And let's stand together once again. My God, my heaven, my
my God, my heaven, my all. There shall I bathe my weary soul in seas of heavenly rest, and not a wave of trouble roll across my peaceful breast. Across my peaceful breast, across my peaceful breast, and not a wave of trouble roll across my peaceful breast.
Please be seated.
You open your Bibles with me to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. This has been such a blessing to us these last few weeks, looking at Psalm 105. Tonight I want us to focus our attention on verse 28. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. When God sends darkness to the soul, he causes us to see what we are. Just what Paul confessed himself to be, sinners. And the evidence of that is that we don't rebel against being a sinner. The hope of our salvation is in being a sinner. We delight in knowing that God's word is true and that he has been pleased to reveal us for what we are. When God sends darkness, they rebel not against his word. Now, before that darkness can be sent, notice in verse 27, they showed his signs among them, speaking of Moses and Aaron. Now, he's talking historically about when Moses and Aaron brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and when God sent the plagues against the Egyptians. Those plagues were not for the Egyptians. God was not desperately trying to get Pharaoh to let his people go. And using these plagues as a leverage to manipulate Pharaoh. Those plagues were for God's people, and they showed the Lord people the power of God over the gods of Egypt. Now remember, the children of Israel have been in Egypt for 430 years. I mean, now you think about everything that's happened in the last 430 years. That's a long time. And they didn't have the law. All they had was the oral traditions that were passed down from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and they didn't have a leader. They were wandering around in Egypt and in bondage as slaves, and they didn't know God. And so when the Lord came and revealed himself in Moses or through Moses, the first thing the Lord does is he shows his power over the gods of Egypt and delivers his children out of that bondage. And so he says in verse 26, he sent Moses his servant and Aaron whom he had chosen, and they showed. Now, in the margin of my Bible, and I looked this word up, you see the word in verse 27, the word signs. The literal translation is the word of his signs. In other words, the meaning of his signs. That wasn't just he just showed the demonstration of his signs. You remember when David says that the Lord revealed to Moses his ways, to the children of Israel his acts. What the Lord's saying here is that he showed them the meaning of these signs. And that's what I'm hoping tonight, that the Lord will show us the meaning, particularly of the sign of darkness. It was the It was the last of the 10 plagues. It was the ninth plague. The sign of darkness was the ninth plague that came right before the death angel came on the Passover night. And Moses went to Pharaoh and told him that God was going to send this darkness, and Lord did. And the scripture says that the darkness was so dark that it could be felt. What a picture of when the Lord sends darkness to our own souls and puts us in that place of, Lord, I've got nothing in me. I've got no righteousness. I've got nothing in me but sin. And it's a darkness that can be felt. And then right after that came the shedding of the blood of the Lamb, delivering us. That's exactly what Paul was saying in Romans chapter 7. To will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Thanks be. There is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is that Passover Lamb. Look at... So it's the word of his signs, or the meaning of his signs. It's not just that he performed these miracles or these plagues, but the Lord shows his people what they mean, what the spiritual meaning of them to their own hearts and to their own relationship with God. So that's what verse 27 says. They, Moses and Aaron, Moses the lawgiver, Aaron the priest, and we have a prophet, a priest, and a king right now, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shows us the word of his signs or the meaning of his signs. We're not interested in just seeing a sign or a miracle for the sake of seeing a miracle. We're interested in God doing a work of grace in our hearts. Lord, the greatest miracle that the Lord ever does is changing the heart of a sinner. Giving faith to an unbeliever. And that's the sign. That's the meaning of the sign. And that's what we're interested in. So the Lord says, they, Moses and Aaron, the lawgiver and the priest, representing none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, he's fulfilled those types in their perfection as our lawgiver, our king. He needed not only to give the law, but he kept the law and fulfilled the law. He intercedes for us as our high priest before God. We have a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. We have the prophet of God who has come as the very incarnation of God's word. And he shows to us the meaning of his signs among them. And the wonders that he performs in the land of Ham. Now that's where we live. We're living just like the children of Israel were exiled to Babylon, just like they were exiled to Egypt. That's where we are. We live in the land of Ham. And the Lord, as our prophet and as our priest and as our king, he shows us the meaning of the signs, and he shows us the wonders that he performs. He reveals to us the accomplished work of redemption that he performed in the hand of Lamb, in the land of Ham. Verse 28. Now, he made known his ways to Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. Now, in order for us to have any understanding of what this darkness is about, we've got to have some understanding of what the blood's about, don't we? It's only when the Lord is pleased to reveal himself for who he is that we're brought to see ourselves for who we are. When Peter saw the Lord, they remember the disciples didn't know who it was, and Peter said, "It's the Lord." And he bowed and he said, "Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. I've seen you now in your resurrected glory." When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and the seraphims hovered over the throne of God, and they cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth is filled with his glory." What did Isaiah do? "Woe is me. Woe is me, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King. Lord, I'm completely dependent upon you to take a coal from off that altar and touch my lips. And Lord, you're going to have to shed some blood for me. When Daniel saw the Lord, he said, my comeliness, my beauty, and my strength was turned into corruption. The Lord said, when you were yet without strength, not when you had little strength, but when you were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. And I brought this up Sunday or Sunday before last, I can't remember now, but when the Lord said in Matthew chapter 28, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Therefore you go, make disciples of all nations. If he's got all power, that means I've got no power. No power. And that's where we are. When we see him for who he is, when the Lord spoke to Job and revealed himself to Job in Job chapter 40. Turn with me there, just back a few pages. Look at verse 1 of Job chapter 40. Now, Elihu's already preached the gospel, and the Lord has already gotten Job's attention. And he's told Job, he said, Job, you brace yourself like a man because I'm going to ask you some questions. And then he begins to interrogate Job. And in chapter 40, look at verse 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? Now, who's the Lord speaking of? He's speaking of Job. He said, Job, you've been contending with me. You've been justifying yourself. And are you going to instruct me? He that reproveth God? Job, you've been reproving me. Now, you answer me. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold. Behold. I see something I've never seen before. I am vile. I am vile. He didn't say I was vile. He said, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Lord, I've said way too much. Now I see myself for what I am. This is a faithful saying. This is a saying that's worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am chief. He didn't say I was chief, sinners. I am chief. I am chief. He didn't say, oh, wretched man that I was. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. When God reveals the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done and his glory, We've got no choice but to come to the same conclusion that Job came to. Look at chapter 42 of Job. And Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Lord, you mean you know my thoughts before I think them? Yeah. You want anybody else to know your thoughts? No. No, that'd be disaster, wouldn't it, if we all knew what we each other was thinking. The Lord knows. He knows every thought. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will, now that word demand is the word inquire or ask or plead. So I will ask, I will inquire, I will plead with you. And Lord, I need you to answer me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of mine ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now that my eyes have seen you for who you are, I can only come to one conclusion. I'm a sinner. I have no righteousness. There's nothing in my flesh but sin. The only hope that I have is found in Christ. Go back with me to Psalm 105. This is the meaning of the signs. This is the you remember the plagues began with blood and ended with blood. What was the very first plague? God, I mean, they worshiped that river Nile. And Moses went down there and turned the water into blood. And the fish died, and then the flies came, and then the lice came, and then the hail came, and then the fire came, and then the sun was darkened, and then the death angel came. All those things were gods that the Egyptians worshiped. But all 10 plagues started with blood and ended with blood. And that's the only way that darkness is going to come to us. And we're not going to rebel against God is if we see the blood, have some understanding of what this blood means. There's no deliverance from Egypt apart from the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. When the Lord instructed Aaron on putting the blood on the mercy seat, he said, "Here and here only will I meet with you." And when they put the blood on the doorpost and the lintels of the homes in Egypt, what did the Lord say? When I see the blood, I'll pass by you. You see, when we have some understanding of what these plagues mean in terms of the blood, beginning with blood and ending with blood, Leviticus chapter 17 says, "It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul." There's no salvation apart from the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, "Unto him that loveth us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." There's the meaning of that plague. The river being turned into blood, the paschal lamb being slain and the blood being put on the door of the house. Points to Christ, doesn't it? Look at Revelation chapter 5 verse 9, "Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation." And you remember when John saw the saints in glory in Revelation chapter 7, he said, "Who are these with the white robes on? These are they that have been delivered from the tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." You see, without the preaching of the blood of Christ, men will never see themselves for sinners. Now, darkness was the ninth plague. Turn to me to Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10. Verse 21, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt." When the hand of the law is stretched out, and it reveals the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the end of the law for righteousness, the only one in whom I have any righteousness. I have no righteousness whatsoever outside of him. So when the hand of the law points to Christ, and that's what it does, it's not that the law condemns us and leads us to Christ. It points to Christ, and Christ brings us. It's the goodness of God that leads us. It's not the threatenings of the law that bring us to repentance. The law reveals the glory of Christ. And the law shows us our inability to keep it. And so when Moses stretched out his hand, there was a great darkness, even a darkness that can be felt. It's a good thing to be made a sinner, isn't it? You know, people that object to unconditional election, they don't have a problem with election. They've got a problem with being made a sinner. If they were a sinner without any righteousness, looking to Christ alone for all the hope of their salvation, they would love election. People that have a problem with limited atonement, they've not been made a sinner. If they were a sinner, they would love limited atonement. They would love irresistible grace. They would love the perseverance of the saints. You see, that's the real problem, isn't it? Once the Lord makes you to be a sinner, then all these glorious truths of grace, that's your hope. So when the Lord sends out darkness, it's a darkness that can be felt. And look at verse 22. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness even in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. You see, darkness has to come before light, doesn't it? When those Pharisees said, "Are you suggesting that we're blind?" you talk about you being the light of the world, and it sounds like you think that we're blind. And what did the Lord say? If you were blind, you'd be able to see. But because you say you can see, therefore your sins remain. When God makes you to be a sinner, you know that you're completely dependent upon Him for any light whatsoever. Lord, I don't. What I know, I'll forget. If you don't keep me. People talk like they know everything; they don't know anything. And believers just come before the Lord. Lord, you've sent a darkness that can be felt, and that you've sent light into our dwelling, the light of the gospel shining in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. But apart from your grace, I'm blind. I can't see. I'm in the dark. You've got to translate me out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your light. You've got to make me to know the truth. Before we need a lamb, we've got to be made a sinner. We've got to be translated out of darkness into His light. Genesis chapter 1, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Here's what we are. Lord, I'm without form. I'm void. I've got darkness upon the face of the deep, and that's a good thing, because that's when the Spirit of God comes, and that's when the Spirit of God says, "Let there be light." And this darkness that can be felt is translated into light in the dwelling places of the Israelites, not for the Egyptians. Now, in our text, in Psalm 105, this plague of darkness is out of order. All the plagues from verses 30 to verse 35 are in the same order that you find them in Exodus. But darkness is the ninth plague. And here, the Lord puts it as the first. Because until you acknowledge your darkness, until you acknowledge your need for that shed blood of Christ and for the light of the gospel, until you acknowledge your inability to see anything apart from God's sovereign grace, then none of the plagues and none of the workings of God are going to mean anything to you, are they? We've got to be made a sinner first, don't we? Darkness that could be felt. As I said, the Lord wasn't trying to get Pharaoh to let his people go. The Lord is giving us these plagues
as types and signs and pictures of the spiritual work of grace that he does in our hearts when he sends his Spirit and makes us to be sinners. When the Spirit of God comes, he will convict the world of sin because they believe not on me. Lord, I'm my worst enemy. It's all me. It's all on me. It's all my fault. One way you know God's made you a sinner is that when you hear the gospel, you know you've got nobody to blame but yourself. It's just all on you, isn't it? We're prone to play the blame game, and we do. We go right back to what our father Adam did, pointing to Eve. You know, it's the woman that you gave us. And any time you accuse your circumstances or anyone else for your problems, you're really blaming God, aren't you? You're really blaming God. You're doing exactly what Adam did. Lord, this is your fault. Yeah. I hear people blame God all the time for their sin. Yeah, I had a man tell me just recently who, I'll give you two examples. One man who could be here and hears and says he believes what we preach, but he says, God's got me out of the church right now. God doesn't have you out of the church. God doesn't have you out of the church. Don't blame God for your sin. And I met a witch and a warlock this week. I did. I promise. And the witch told me, she said, you know, I practice witchcraft right here. And I said, you need to come over here and hear the gospel. And the other men were all worried. You're talking to a witch. It's all right. That's all right. You know, and the guy that's involved in warlock activity had his stepfather say about him, well, he's got a good heart. and he's kind and considerate. And God has him where he is right now. The Lord's just teaching him some things. God doesn't have him there. But people do that, don't they? I mean, those are two extremes, but it's when God makes you to be a sinner, you just can't say, well, God made me do it, or God, let no man say when he sins that it's the Lord. We bear the full burden of our responsibility for our own sin, don't we? Look at our text. Go back with me to Psalm 105. Look at verse 28. He who sent the darkness, God sends the darkness. You can't make somebody a sinner. You can't even make yourself a sinner. God has to do it, doesn't he? And when he reveals Christ, then the only conclusion you can come to is this. There's nothing in me like him. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everything in my life falls short of his glory. I'm a sinner. I'm in need of his grace. I'm in need of his mercy. And that's the Lord's the only one that can. He's the only one that can reveal Christ to us. And he's the only one that can make us to be a sinner. And when he does, look what he says. He sent darkness and made it dark. Oh, Lord, this is a darkness that can be felt. It's 3 days of darkness. Lord, you're going to have to turn some lights on in my dwelling place and reveal Christ to me. And they rebelled not against his word. They didn't say what the rest of the world said. Well, I'm not a sinner. They didn't rebel against. And not only did they not rebel against being made a sinner, they didn't rebel against anything that God had to say. You know that you've been made a sinner when you bow. You know, and people have a hard time bowing to submission of other authorities. Romans chapter 13 is clear. If you can't bow to the authority of your supervisor or the governing authorities or the police, you haven't bowed to God. You have not submitted to him. And that's what he said. When the Lord sends darkness and he makes it dark, they rebelled not against his word. They were left with no defense. They were exactly where Moses, where Job was. Lord, I had spoken without knowledge. Forgive me, Lord. I had heard of thee by the hearing of my ear, but now mine eyes have seen thee, and I repent in dust and ashes. I'm vile. Lord, who am I? Who am I to justify myself and to speak such proud, swelling words against you? The Lord makes, when he sends the darkness and makes it dark, they rebelled not against his word. They didn't object to being a sinner, and they didn't object to anything else that God said. God makes you to be a sinner. You know, we're quick to defend ourselves when someone makes accusations about us, aren't we? But isn't it true that if we're truly conscious of our sinfulness before God, we would be responding to any accusations that anybody made against us? If you knew who I really was, you'd have a lot worse things to say about me than that. Isn't that true? If you knew my heart, you'd have worse things to say about me than that. Hey, this being made a sinner is just humbling, isn't it? It's humbling before God. It's humbling before men. And God gives grace to the humble. And he resists the proud. He resists the proud. Look at verse 29. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. And then all the rest of the plagues are listed in verses 30 through 36. And they're listed in the order. But the darkness is out of order. Why? Because to have any understanding of what God's doing, you've got to be a sinner. You can't understand anything without being a sinner. You know, Todd and I were talking today, and he's going to preach a message on the four soils. And we were talking about, you know, the sower that sows the seed, and some of the soil falls on the wayside, and the hardened packed soil, and the birds come and they pluck away. How many times you've heard a message and you've been blessed by it, and within just a few minutes you forgot what the blessing was? You know, these things are not just representative of unbelievers. All four of these soils are in us, aren't they? The thorns of this world choke out the fruitfulness of God's word, and the shallowness of our hearts, you know, cause the roots to dry up. And but the one difference, the soil that fell on good soil, that soil was a sinner. It was a sinner. And when the word of God falls in the heart of a sinner, it produces fruit. Fruit, what kind of fruit? Faith. Faith. That's what it produces. It produces a dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ for everything. Skip down with me to verse 36. He smote also the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. Now, as I said, God wasn't sending these plagues in order to kind of twist the arm of Pharaoh. He could have sent the death angel as the one and only plague and not just killed the firstborn, but killed every Egyptian in the land and brought the children of Israel out. He didn't have to do it. He was doing this for his people. What God does is for his children. It's for his church. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Moses had already told Pharaoh when he said, you can go, but leave your children and your cattle behind. He said, when we leave, not one hoof will be left behind. Everything's leaving. Everybody and everything we've got is going. And not only did they leave with all their animals and all their children, but the Egyptians were so glad to see him go, they gave him gifts. You know, when God makes you to be a sinner, you believe the gospel. The way the Egyptians treated the children of Israel and getting them out of the country is the way your friends and family members will treat you. They will. You won't have to, you know, we don't treat unbelievers unkind. But they won't have anything to do with us after a while, will they? Egypt was glad when they departed. You see that, verse 38? For the fear of them fell upon them. The fear of the Israelites fell on the Egyptians, and they were glad that they were gone. God sends darkness, and he sends the death angel, and he sheds that blood, and he protects you. Your unbelieving friends and family members are going to be glad that you depart, because your testimony in your life causes them to be afraid. Talked to a lady recently, Trish and I were talking to her, and we were just sharing the gospel with her. First thing out of her mouth, are you saying I'm not a Christian? I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. You came to that conclusion. You see, the message of the gospel that we preach makes them afraid. And they're glad to get away from us. He spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give light in the night. That cloud was Christ. That fire was Christ. He's the one that protects us in the heat of the day. He's the one that guides us through the darkness of night. The people ask, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. You see, this is the meaning of the signs, isn't it? It's the spiritual blessings that God brings to us right now. When the bread of life comes down from heaven and feeds our souls, and we gather up that manna. He opened the rock and the waters gushed out and they ran in the dry places like a river. Oh, brethren, we live in a dry and thirsty land, don't we? And when the law, that's what happened. Moses took the rod and he smote the rock. And when he smote the rock, water came out. And after that, he was only to speak to the rock for the water to come out. And he smote it again, didn't he? And the law of God can only smite Christ once. Christ is that rock. And the law became satisfied on Calvary's cross when it struck him with vengeance and put him to death on Calvary's cross for the sins that he bore in his body. And the law was satisfied, and out of that rock comes living water. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and we're called the children of Abraham. Abraham's the father of the faithful. And the Lord remembers the covenant promises that he made with Abraham and his seed. Not seeds, but his seed, which is one, Christ. And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. Oh, Lord, you've delivered me from my sin. You've delivered me from death and hell and the grave. And you've set me free from the taskmasters of the law. And, Lord, I've got reason to rejoice. You sent darkness that could be felt. And then you shined the light of the gospel. You revealed to me the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've kept me to be a sinner. You gave them lands of the heathen that they inherited and labor of the people. Joshua chapter 24, the Lord said, you're going to have lands that you didn't, You're going to have crops you didn't plant. You're going to have houses you didn't build. You're going to have lands you didn't earn. You didn't work for it. I gave it to you. That's a picture of the gospel. All the blessings that we get from God. We didn't do anything to earn them. The Lord gives them to us. Why? That they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. That they might rest all the hope of their salvation. Keeping God's laws, not trying to earn God's favor by doing the law. It's looking to the one who kept the law for us and resting all our hope in him. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the revelation of Christ that you've given to us. So many types and shadows and pictures. Thank you for sending darkness that can be felt. And thank you for putting light in the dwelling of the Israelites. Lord, we thank you most especially for that lamb that is without spot and without blemish, that was shed his precious blood on Calvary's cross. Might we set our affections on him and find all our hope and righteousness in him. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Number 13. Let's stand together. Number 13.
We'll just sing the verses, not the refrain. Number 13 in the spiral. Dark the stain that soils man nature, long the distance that he fell, far removed from hope and heaven, into deep despair and hell. But there was a fountain opened, and the blood of God's own Son purifies the soul and reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Conscience of the deep pollution, sinners wander in the night. Though they hear the shepherd calling, they still fear to face the light. This the blessed consolation that can melt the heart of stone, that sweet balm of Gilead reaches deeper than the stain has gone. All unworthy we who've wandered, and our eyes are wet with tears, as we think of lot that sought us through the weary wasted years. Yet we walk the holy highway, walking by God's grace alone, knowing Calvary's fountain reaches deeper than the stain has gone. When with holy choirs we're standing in the presence of the King, and our souls are lost in wonder while the white-robed choir sing, then we'll praise the name of Jesus with the millions round the throne,
Praise him for the power that reaches deeper than the stain has gone.